This is Glenda, and just wishing you a happy Sunday. And we're having a lovely time here, looking forward to our live blessing seminar that will be happening 2 weeks from today. Now, this actually involves all of you in many, many ways, because you've been coming to the blessing, the Sunday blessings, some of you off and on, maybe not every time, but for a very long time. And we feel your presence. And what we're doing with training and bringing new blessing givers on board is for you. And it's to intensify the effects of our blessing, sending it out all over the world. So I have a little question. Okay. Sending it out all over the world, and you're going to be part of it on that day. I'll just tell you right now, since I know not everybody comes every week, on the weekend of August 28th, we will not be having our worldwide blessing call at 3 p.m. Central Time. We will be having it at 5 p.m. Central Time. And that's so that we can give all of our newly initiated blessing givers a chance to give you a blessing. It will be their first blessing to give to the world. And together, as a whole audience of people that are here, we will be sending our blessing to you. So make a note of that. And I will send this out in the written announcement in the next 2 weeks announcement, so you don't forget. But just plan on being there. You'll be glad you are. Because everyone will be very excited and very, very, very elevated and so happy to be with you and to be there for you. So so welcome, Nancy. I see that you're here, and we love that you are here now. Yeah? Are you on board?
I am totally here.
All right. Well, we are so blessed to have you, Nancy, because you know, it gives me a chance, just a little chance to pause and think about what I just said or what I might say next, and to give my whole heart to the person I'm talking with instead of fiddling around with tech.
Absolutely. So happy to be here. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this beautiful blessing call today. I'm so overjoyed to be here, Glenda.
Oh, great. And I'm going to be seeing you, I think, in 2 weeks from now.
Yes, you are. We're so excited.
Okay, the plans are still on. So Nancy and her handsome husband will be there. Two of my longest-term friends in the ministry of Christ. I can still see them the day we met. What was the name of the church, Nancy, where we met?
Oh, gosh. It was a little church here in Austin.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but because I'm not even sure if it's still there. But, yeah, it was 1996 or 7?
No. Did you see The Lamb and the Lion then?
Was
the painting there?
The painting was not there, I don't believe. No.
Okay. Well, my feeling is 1994, but I might be wrong.
You know what? That sounds right.
It was a long time because that's when I started painting the angel paintings, and you and Gary were two of the first receivers of the angel paintings, and I noticed you still have them, so I hope they grace your home.
They do. They're a true blessing, really. They are. Thank you.
Yeah,
that was
you know.
20 years ago. Wow.
A long time ago, and you and Gary were just like you were almost puppies. You really were. You know, you just had two babies, and they've grown up. They have their babies now. And, well, I may be getting that a little wrong, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, I do.
Two of my longest-term friends in the delivery of messages from Christ. And Nancy and Gary were sitting on the front row, and I got really worried about them at several times. I thought they were actually going to slip out of their chairs. They couldn't get any closer. I think they were about 1 inch into the seat of the chair. I was about to come and hug them and push them back. So,
well, I'm sure for many of us that are here on the call today and part of our community that, you know, once this information through you came to us, it was so transformative and such a, yes, that's my Yeshua, that's my Jesus, that's who I've always known. It was like, finally, and, you know, there was such a blessing in that for both of us in terms of our spiritual journey as a couple to sort of dovetail together and just finally be on the same path. So, yeah, it was pretty powerful, and we were hitting each other under the chairs going like, can you believe this? Can you believe this?
I saw
so,
that.
Yeah,
you're definitely
relating it. Yeah. You're relaying it exactly the way it was, so thank you.
You're so well. Thank you too for being the joy that you are and the love that you are. And so they were among the first receivers for the book when it finally. There was no book at that point. I was just going out as an evangelist, telling what happened to me and sharing some parts of the message. I couldn't share too much yet because I was really still very scared to let anybody know I had a conversation with him, because then they were going to ask, what did he say? And I was insecure about how to respond. It took me a number of years to become secure enough in that. And then he came and he said, okay, I will speak through you now. Just like I had been recruited years ago and he was letting me get my feet on the ground. And I just basically fell back on my bed and said, holy cow, can I do this? But it's all been great. It's all been in his timing. Everything. I just want to say this. I have said it before, but not all the time. I didn't seek any of this. I have been a devout Christian since I was a little girl. My family was deeply steeped in traditional Christianity, but not the kind of conformist doctrine enforcing Christianity we see so much of today. They came from pioneer roots. They were farmers, dairymen, ranchers, and, you know, out on the prairie, what you had was a Bible. You had a little white church, you had a preacher, and other people who were devoted to God. And you read the Bible every day. And once your heart was given to Christ, you couldn't move it. It was there. Talk about devout. Their life depended upon God, who gave them the wherewithal to work with nature and the earth. And the Holy Spirit that guided them in everything they do, and Christ in holding their love and their hearts together and their families together. You know, they didn't need a doctrine. I mean, really, I know that sounds a little derogatory, but the strong doctrine enforcement has actually emerged out of a more convenient life where we need reasons to hold together. And so, now we've got so many denominations, and people say, oh, no, this is the right belief. No, that's the right belief. And we go back and forth. And it's all God, my darlings. It's all God. It's all the beautiful earth he created. It's the Holy Spirit moving through you, and it's the love of Christ. That's and read your Bible. Don't forget to read your Bible. It's all there. It's all there. And actually, what my final motivation was, after I accepted the challenge and the request from him to write the book and began writing, what really held my thoughts together was the profound opportunity to take everything that had been taught for 2,000 years and put it into a language of today that includes the upgraded knowledge we have about the universe, the upgraded knowledge we have about nature, the way DNA works, the way the plants work together, what we know about the geophysical history of the planet and the migration of people and the migration of beliefs. You know, we have so much that we can put into the same basket that's always been here without changing one bit of truth. It's still all the truth with a little bit more on the table. That's it. And I became dedicated to doing that. It's been the greatest thrill of my life. And I know that it will be the motivating thrill for the rest of my days on this earth. Because think about how much more can be written. How much more can be brought to the table. How much more can help us understand the truth that has always been with us. But especially our young people are turning away from it because they don't like the language. They don't like the thee and the thou and some of the archaic tribal rituals that you couldn't even find a place to do today. And things like slaughtering lambs at the temple. Who's going to want to go to a temple today and slaughter a precious little lamb? Let's face it, people. The truth needs to be the truth. And the customs need to be called what they are. They were customs of the day that expressed the truth as it has eternally been. And a lot of those customs had to do with sacrifice. And that's one of the biggest misunderstood customs of the ancient day. Because a lot of the sacrificial customs involved even human life. And that would be terrifying to us today. Absolutely terrifying. And we're not even going to contemplate it. And it's grounds for turning off an awful lot of people. Well, let me bring this into common parlance today. How about sacrificing work on Sunday? Okay? How about just regaining the Sabbath? And yeah, you could get caught up on work. Maybe you'd be a little ahead on Monday. But think about if you sacrificed work on Sunday, how fresher you would be on Monday. And then you look back on all this work you thought you had to do, and you say, well, that was nothing. I can whip this out in 15 minutes. You see, we get caught up in stressful thinking, and we're not willing to make the sacrifices. Okay, what if everybody and their cat is wanting to diet today, and most of the diets you go on don't work. And I'll give you one big reason why. Because of the stress involved in them, the stress. Okay, here's a really good way. Now, it's a long-term thing, but it's a really good way to improve your health and shed a few pounds. How about just sacrificing that cheesecake? Just say, that's my sacrifice for the day. There's sacrifice all through the Bible. We are told to sacrifice. How about sacrificing something you were going to buy at the mall and giving it to the animal shelter. Giving back to God. That's a sacrifice that will open your heart and it will not bring stress. Never once when I have sacrificed something that would just burden my life did I feel a stress reaction after, like, oh, gee, but I really wanted that dress. I've never once ever felt that. I always feel relief, like, good Lord, I can't believe I would have brought another dress on into a crowded closet. Instead, I'll come home and think about more things I can give away or take to consignment. I think, wow, I don't need all of this. How in the world did I get all of this? Okay, well, that's what I'm going to talk about. That's what I'm going to talk about in our message today. But first of all, I think, Nancy, we ought to just freshen up the room, brighten up the space by hearing from some of our friends. And then I'll get back to my message. Okay.
Wonderful. Let's see, Glenda. It looks like area code 808.
Hi, Glenda. It's Diana.
Hello, Diana.
I'm just struggling a lot with, I think, feeling really angry and irritable, and everything seems off kilter. I don't wake up until noon these days, and it's affecting my dog, who's also, like, chewing and scratching himself a lot, and that's been for the past month. So I'm just asking for assistance for any of the above.
Okay. Well, I think my message today is directly headed right into your consciousness. And you're not alone. You're not alone. And stop blaming yourself for it, okay? That's number one. You've gotten yourself into what I'm going to call a pot of glue. You were mad. Something wasn't working. And you stuck your fist into a pot of glue, thinking you could pull it out and maybe hit something else. You couldn't pull it out of that pot of glue. You were stuck. I said, oh, my God, can things get any worse? Really? And as you stood there with your hand in that pot of glue, you said, yep, that could get a whole lot worse. So what do I do? All right, we're going to talk about that, Diana. So this is your day. Plus, we'll offer blessings for you. And after I give my message, everybody's going to see that the blessing today is going to be directly targeted on this problem that everybody is going through. Okay?
So if I understand, everyone's going through this problem, meaning self-blame?
Well, yes. Yes. Okay. I don't know of anyone who isn't. Really, I don't. But it's not an old-fashioned kind of suffering, like, well, somebody died, and you're grieving. You are, you don't have enough money for what you want, and you're wondering how to do it. You lost friends, and you're unhappy. Now, this is a different kind of suffering. This is a kind of suffering going on today that is cumulative, and you don't even know how it got accumulated. And you can't back out of it. Does that sound right?
Accumulated suffering that I don't know how I got into it and how to get out of it. I suppose so. I'm confused. I'm going to let you do your thing. I don't know.
I think you'll get a better answer, but I can't give it to you right now. Okay.
That's fine. Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Diana. Our line is now open to Stormy. Welcome.
Yes.
Hello, Stormy.
Hi. First off, I wanted to mention a blessing from the violet ray that you said that is what I came in on. Just wanted to mention that. But within Stormy's music, there are no problems in the world. I have no problems within me. It just isn't written there. It can't exist. And when I sing just one crystal bow note in front of people, people experience the peace that passes all understanding, like the movie I suggested a while back ago, A Boy Named Sailboat. When he plays the guitar, ukulele, and sings, all you hear in the movie is this one crystal note, and people gather around, and they're just experiencing the peace that passes all understanding, and all of this, all the situations in the world, it just doesn't matter because everything is okay. And So that's good. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and that's good to tie in with what you're talking about.
It's good to hear from you, Stormy, because there aren't very many people who actually live on the level you do. And for the value of everyone else, there is a level way above the earth where there is no stress. There are no problems. And you came from there. You did. You came from there, and you dived into a world that on a physical level is dominated by gravity and electromagnetism. And these things can actually physically hurt if you let them. Now, there are people who've mastered it, but they master it from the higher level, and then it doesn't affect them when they're down here in the world. Kind of like the way Yeshua said to his apostles, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And that's basically what Stormy is saying to you, same thing. There is a level you could be on, but most of us are trying to do our work and get along in the world. So I want to give a brief introduction to my presentation today that comes in direct harmony with what Stormy was saying and reinforces the value of what he said. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I really want to say it strongly today because it's foundation for everything else I'm going to bring for you to hear. If you read the book of Genesis, where all the days of creation are discussed, it doesn't matter whether you take them as allegory, symbol, or literal, because they really are literal from a certain level, on high, a very high level. But in all the sequence of describing God's creation of this universe, there's not one passage, not one line, not one word that says God created the world. He didn't. Everything in this world that is vexing you, you're stumbling your feet on, you're not gaining momentum in, you're confused by, that's the world, period. And you say to yourself, and this is a big mistake you make, you say, well, why doesn't God fix it? Okay, I'm going to give you the answer right now. God didn't create it. Humanity created it. On the sixth day of creation, God created humanity, humans, human beings. He created us from the mud, and then he breathed spirit into us. Now, you could interpret that a lot of different ways, but one of the fundamental things it reveals is that we exist on many, many levels from heaven to earth. We were created to walk on the ground. That's what being created from the mud means. We're going to walk on this earth all the days of our life, and with very few exceptions, our body will be given back to the earth. Now, in the meantime, while we're here doing our thing on earth, we can choose to be on many, many different levels of operation. Okay. Stormy, with his love of music, and especially celestial angelic music, has chosen to live up where those problems don't exist. Okay. Most of us have made other choices, and almost all of us exist on multiple levels, not just one. Now, the deeper you get into the mud, the more problems you're going to have. Not because they're coming at you to be a problem. It's just like if you're in a swamp, you're not going to walk as fast as you would if you were on dry ground. You're just not. Because there's more resistance. There's more to walk through. There's more of everything that could possibly stop you. Okay? And we move through the mud. or we walk on the ground and we wish we could run, but we don't have the strength to run. And at times we take a break and we elevate to a higher plane. Much of the time we do that through prayer, through meditation, or through listening to beautiful music. And we get up to a higher plane and we look around and we say, well, gee, I don't know why I was thinking that was such a problem. Well, that's because you exist on many levels. And it's on these higher levels that you receive most of your blessings, most of them. Now, sometimes God will just reach down into the mud, get his hands dirty, and lift you up. This does happen at times. But most of the time, what happens is you discover your faith. You stand up and walk out of the mud onto at least dry land, and you look up to the heaven and say, I have faith. I'm going to reach for something better. And lo and behold, something better reaches down for you. It's been there all along, but you couldn't reach for it when you're just in the mud. But why do you stay there? Because you keep thinking, you know, if I just was smarter, I could defeat this. I could make this mud be something other than the mud. It's not supposed to be here. Well, my friends, let me tell you something. You're up against some pretty steep odds because God did create the mud and he didn't create the world. So what do I mean by the world? It's all this human created stuff, the complexity of human dynamics, the complexity of finding a way to live and work, produce, and happily, hopefully happily, get along with others, and occasionally it's not so happy. And how do we get through that? How do we trust one another? How do we love one another? And it builds up a tremendous amount of stress around our life. And so we just want to be out of it. And we think, well, okay, I'm going to change something. That's pretty much the first thing we think. Okay, I got to change something. This is not working. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to live somewhere else. I'm going to leave this neighborhood. I'm going to change jobs. I'm going to say adios to my friends, and I'll still love them, but hey, we're not doing much for each other. So I'm going to go see if I can make new friends somewhere else. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to cut my hair. Okay. I'm going to dress differently. I'm going to change. You have no idea, my loves, all of you, that you're just digging yourself deeper into the mud every time you change anything. The only thing you can change without creating more problems and more stress is your heart. You can change your heart. You can change your disconnection from God into a connection with God. You can change anything that carries you to a higher level, and then things just change themselves. We did a webinar a long time ago called The Only Way Out Is Up, and that's because the changes you start making are upward ones. You're not making lateral changes at all. So now I'm going to bring in a longtime guest presenter who was my life partner for very many years, Dr. Larry Jensen. And many of you had courses with him. Many of you really learned some of the secrets of life from him. And I learned so much from my dear Larry. And I particularly miss him in the seasons where I'm getting ready to do a seminar, because that's what we mostly did together, were seminars. He was a master, a world-class seminar presenter, the kind of seminar presenter to whom famous seminar presenters like Tony Robbins would attend Larry's seminar. other very famous people like Deepak Chopra would attend Larry's seminar. So when you talk about the celebrity line, the line of celebrities, Larry and I'm just thinking so many people. The list just kind of scrolls through my mind, and it's hard to just even pick one. But when I was having a conversation with Larry once before a seminar, I was just telling him, honey, I am so stressed. And he said, would you like to know what stress is all about? And I said, you mean you have a secret? And he says, well, it's actually not a secret to a trained psychologist. Larry was a PhD psychologist in addition to many other degreed areas of expertise. So I said, yeah. He said, it's just changing beyond the point you can tolerate. That's it. I said, you mean it's not just negative change? It's not just something going wrong? He said, no. No. You could just be packing. It could be a family packing up their stuff, heading for Disney World. Not even an argument in the family. Nobody disputing. Everybody happy. Everybody looking at all the programs. What are we going to do? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. They get down the road just a little ways, and everybody's fighting. For absolutely no reason. I said, well, why would they be fighting? He said the changes they were going through exceeded their tolerance for change. When you have exceeded your tolerance for change, everything starts going negative for you. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. Okay. He said, look, I'll give you a really good example. Before we were married, you and I never had a fight. We never even had an argument. We never even had a heated discussion. In the first month after we were married, we had the only arguments we ever had, and they were all for absolutely nothing. I said, well, yeah, that's right. He said, we were getting used to each other, and we were going past our tolerance for change. You wanted to keep doing things your way. I wanted to keep doing things my way. And there was nothing wrong with your way, nothing wrong with my way. But it was causing us to exceed our tolerance for change. So it just stimulated arguments. And he said, after 2 or 3 months, it all stopped. Not because we sat down at the table and said, well, how are we going to do this? He said, it just all stopped because we gave ourselves time to acclimate. He said, now look at our daughter. We watched her have her only child. Sweetest girl ever was. Loving life. You couldn't ruffle her feathers. You couldn't throw her out of control. It was like all hell broke loose when this little boy came into her life. And he was the sweetest little boy. No problems. But everything started just turning upside down. Her husband kept staying later at work because he couldn't tolerate the chaos. But, of course, she needed him more because she couldn't tolerate the heavy load. And it was the sweetest time of their life. The chaos threw them into exceeding the level of their tolerance. And he says, now, so we've discussed getting married. We've discussed Disney World. We've discussed having a baby. Let's discuss having the greatest work that could ever be given to you. And he said, and I'm talking to you. Okay. Yeshua came to you. He gave you a job, a really powerful position, to write up his words and give them to the world. You did absolutely the right thing. You paused. You didn't jump into it. You didn't say, oh, great, how fast can I get started? And then you get started, and all of a sudden you're beginning to have self-doubts and self-worth, and you're blaming other people for not helping you. He said, no, you paused. He said, you were masterful that you paused. And every time the stress would build up, you would pause. You would just take a break and pause. He said, you instinctively knew how to handle this, or perhaps he was handling you. Either way, it was masterful. And he said, this is the only thing you can do. You have to pause. And he said, actually, this is a brilliant part of modern child psychology. Instead of spanking a child, you give them a timeout. He said, the pause is miraculous. You just put a pause in, and you say, okay, we're going to take a pause. He said, this is what God your Father did when he installed the Sabbath as the seventh day of the week. He said, it's time for a pause. You can't handle any more stress. And you can say, oh, but we're doing great work. We just want to keep the momentum up. And God says, nope, you're going to pause. But why? I'm doing great work. Well, you'll see it fold in on you if you don't take a pause. We can only tolerate so much, my friends, which is why we have to sleep at night. Just think about how much more we could get done if we didn't have to sleep at night. Well, when I was younger, I tried it. And I can tell you from personal experience, I didn't get a bit more work done. In fact, I did less because, it's like when the exam is coming the next day and you're cramming. Well, I did worse on the exam than if I had slept. Okay. This is stress. This is what stress does. But our instinctive response to stress, instinctive, not knowing, but now you're going to know, is we got to change something. Things start to be stressful, whether it's at work, with the family, with your diet, with the way you feel about yourself, the way you look, a situation with the neighbors or other employees, that we got to change something. Something's got to change here. Well, the minute you do that, you're not recognizing the very problem is that all of you went through too much stress already. Too much change already, and that's what brought on the stress. One more bit of change will accelerate the stress to the point that the tension will build up more, the inability to be effective will increase, the overall disability will increase, and you'll arrive at Disneyland wishing you could go home. It happens all the time, my friends. Now, let's look at the world. I would say really in the last 22 years, the rate of change in our world has been exceeding almost everyone's tolerance. And then it tipped the scale when COVID came on the scene. Regardless of what your beliefs or opinions are about COVID, no one can disagree. It tipped the scale on changes that we had to make. For heaven's sake, if only wearing a mask, if only being more careful, working at home, changes tipped the scale. Now, there was a positive thing about that, which actually made things conceivably long-term a little better. And that's that it caused us to pause. Because in the midst of the lockdown, we really, frankly, didn't know what to do. And a lot of people really objected to the vaccination. They had a right to. Because this should never be a government-mandated thing as long as you observe the rights of other people to not pass along contamination. Okay? But a lot of people went into self-enforced pausing. A lot of people changed their diets to something simpler. We stayed away from shopping and malls, which were, you know, really, ask yourself, when is the last time I went to a mall and came home feeling better? You didn't, because you went there and you were bombarded with all kinds of things, thingy things, that you were made to believe you needed. It might have just been a potato peeler. But, you know, what you already, you were eating potatoes before. Why did you need a special potato peeler? It was just one more change. All of these things we see, the advertisements that come on our phone, that come on our television, just are driven by marketing to try to get us to buy something more. And, of course, buying something more implies your life isn't good enough without this potato peeler. You really need it. Your life isn't good enough without this supplement. You got to have it if you want to live to be in your 80s and 90s. You better get this. And going, well, now I've got to learn all about the supplement I was already taking and was it good enough, and now I have to learn about this. So what's happening? You're tipping the scale on change. You're tipping the scale. My friends, I want to tell you something that I learned as a great gift from God to be born in to a pioneer family. And I mean literally a pioneer family. My grandmother, and I don't mean my great-grandmother, I mean my grandmother and grandfather, were born in the 1880s. They came to Texas in a covered wagon. They homesteaded a farm. They raised everything. And they learned, actually, that there was this great opportunity in Texas, because Texas was a big cotton-producing state, that they could sharecrop land, which was really a, don't think of poor people sharecropping and then getting nothing out of it. It was actually the best way to make money and create the best crops. Let me tell you why. They went into 50-50 partner with the landowner to farm the land for 3 years. And they would give the farmer 50% of the crop. And they didn't have to buy the land. At the end of 3 years, they would move on to other land. It's called agricultural field rotation. And the land would lay fallow for a couple of years until some other farmer would come in and maybe want to grow a different crop. Next time it might be maize, which then would nurture the land with different elements. Sharecropping was a dynamic, rotational agricultural industry that kept our lands nourished and full of minerals and vitamins and natural elements of the earth and life that had grown on it in the season before. So we had very fertile crops, and owners were allowed to move on. And so they actually did very well. They were not poor people. They actually owned the first Model T car in their little town in East Texas called Godley, of all places. And three of their children became ministers. They were very, it was a very godly family. They read the Bible fluently and knew it by heart. They could cite everything, verse and line, through the Bible. They lived off of what they produced. There was no indoor plumbing. And they learned how to build their houses with a very high ceilings and, you know, with fireplaces. My friends, if we had to live like that today, we could do it. You don't think you could do it, but you could. You could. We would probably do it a little differently because times have changed and we have new industries and new possibilities. But what I'm getting to the point of is God gave you everything you need to live. God gave you everything you need to live, and that's what God created. God gave us the garden of our life. And we chose to go out and create what we thought we could do better. And that's the world. That's the world. Now, not everything in the world is bad. Don't hear me say that, because humanity basically is good. We're just kind of inadequate when we try to do it all ourselves. And we fall prey to our addiction for change. You know, people stop buying our products if we don't change it. And then new innovations come about, and we want to be part of the new innovation. And we've got to go to this place, and we've got to go there and there and there. So we build up stress in the world. What does stress cause? Well, it causes illness, irritability, anger, self-deprecation. Why can I never make anything work? It's like you think it's your responsibility. God created the universe, and he puts you where everything can work. If you want to go out and create the world, fine. That's great. Go for it, guys. Now, I'll give you an example of a great innovation that happened through the early part of the 20th century. Okay. The Wright brothers were admiring the birds that they could fly, and they said, why can't we fly? We should be able to do that. And they were thinking about, you know, making appendages for the arms and making the arms flap, and realize, well, our arms aren't really strong enough to hold us up into the wind. And so they studied thermal distribution of wind and how all of this works. To telescope the story, they finally made their version of the first airplane. And they were willing to take a chance riding in it, and they did, and it went a short distance, and it was like, yippee, we did it. Well, what was that? Was that the world? Well, not quite. Not at that point, no. No more than I would say indoor plumbing is really the world, because it was working with the elements God created, and only the elements God created. Okay. They had studied the air, the currents, the updraft of wind. They had studied the birds and they were learning aerodynamics, really. And aerodynamics were created by God. So they were studying all the laws of the universe created by God. And they were implementing their intelligence and talents that were gifted by God. Okay? So at that point, no, they weren't. That wasn't the world. But then people who were powers and powerful forces in the world took a look at what they had created, and they said, we want this. You won't believe what we're going to be able to do with this. Well, it wasn't very many years later till airplanes were the greatest weapon in World War I. So, yeah, we wouldn't believe what they were going to do with it. Now, there's the world. There's the world taking over. We've got wonderful inventors and innovators coming out with great ideas today, and we need to respect them, learn from them, study them. The fact that we are using our talents does not mean we're working in the world. Yeshua used his talents being in the world, but he was not of the world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a difference. Of the world means you're coming from powers that have been given to you from your college education, from money that's been invested in you, job positions you have, expectations that have been thrown upon you by powers of the world. Okay, that means being of the world. Just like when he was asked the question about taxes, he said, well, give unto God what belongs to God and to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. It was okay for him that the world is here. like, well, am I stupid? Obviously, the world is here, and obviously, it's going to collect taxes because it wants to be paid. It wants to keep on going. So don't fight it. Just do your part. Share it, but give to God what belongs to God. I think we're way, way overdue for acknowledging how much in our life is a gift of God and working as far as we can go with those gifts and the talents that God has bestowed upon us and working from within our talents. An interesting thing about our talents is in order to implement and activate them and then deploy them is we have to go within to find them, activate them, and then we give out with our talent. Just like me, if I paint a painting, I don't start out there somewhere. I start in here with what inspires me. I start in here with things I've learned how to do with a talent God gave me. And I start working, and as I work, I'm giving forth of the talent, of the ability. When I started, when I consented to the request from Yeshua, and I said, basically, I don't know how I will do this. You'll have to give me the strength, O Lord. You will. He said, don't worry, I will. I went inside to start remembering everything we had talked about. I had written down volumes and volumes of notes. But I didn't even go there first. I went inside first. And I looked for what I remembered, how it made me feel, how it changed my life. And I thought, yeah, if I work from the inside out, I can do this. I can do this. I know I can. Okay. And so I did. And then I brought the notes out and I worked from the notes. And then when I got to a point where I just really couldn't do anymore, I would ask him to fill in the blanks for me or the Holy Spirit to come and anoint me with understanding. And that always happened so that I was always pushing from the inside out. And during the time, I tell you now, during the time after I went to the public with Love Without, with the Lamb and the Lion, and the years in which I were previous to writing and distributing Love Without End, I never read a book written by anyone else other than the Bible. Never. Not once. And yet I was always pressured. Everywhere I went, oh, have you read this book? Oh, you got to hear what they've got to say. Oh, you got to hear this. You got to watch this movie. You just have to. You have, and I would just say to them, you know, I just was in the greatest movie of my life. I don't really want anything else. And they would think I was being a snob. Like, well, are you telling us we're listening to inferior things? No, no, no. Do what you're called to do. You do what you're called to do. Let me do what I'm called to do. Okay? You remember that, my friends. You do what you're called to do and do it from the inside out. It will help you to be in the world and not of the world. By doing that, you'll be able to pause. And by doing that, you won't think the next best action is some kind of change. You try to change something, it's going to go wrong. It's going to go very wrong. And I had this problem last night. I have lost, because my computer went down through various levels of tragedy over the last 3 years, and different people brought it back up for me. Every time someone else brought it back up, they changed things. And I was trying to uncover all the changes that had been made, and I was trying to uncover it by fixing those changes. And finally, I got to the point where I realized, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I went back to myself and I said, nope, Glenda, this is not the way we're going to handle it. I'm going to get a large backup system. We're going to back up all of this in case anything in here is ever needed. And I'm going to take what is absolutely essential and I'm starting over. I am not going to put up with all of these changes because they're driving me crazy. I'm getting out of my mind on all of these changes, and I don't think more than 10% of all this that's back there under the cover of somebody else's change is even worth keeping. So the next thing I'll do is get this really good, probably 1 terabyte of backup, get it all backed up, put it on the shelf, and call it history. Sometimes things just need to be left behind, my friends, because if we keep trying to change things, we'll just get embroiled in the change, and the change will try to change us. I didn't want to go back to those days. I told myself, you know what, Glenda, you've lived those days already. You've done that work already. All you need to save are your books, all your webinars, all of your creative material, your pictures, the things from which you'll create the future. That's it. You don't need anything else. Let the grave have everything else. And it was a very refreshing feeling. But before I close on this presentation, I want to summarize. I just want you to take a look at your life, all the things you think you need to change, and ask yourself, do I really need to change anything? Or do I just need to take the baby out of the basket so that I can make sure the baby is safe and let the basket float down the river? Do you really need to change anything? Some things in this life are precious, but they don't need changing. You take the baby out of the basket, you look at that baby and say, oh, you precious, you lovely thing. Hug, 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 I love you. I love you, love you, love you. Okay, basket's gone. We'll get another basket, honey, and it'll be lined with satin. And you'll be with me all the days of your life. All done. I have held on to so much stuff that I brought here from the catastrophe and the tragedy of the last 3 years, thinking, I'll take all these things out of the box and I'll groove them into my new life. And I looked at a garage full of things and I said, nope, I'm not going to look at you guys again. I'm going to call somebody out when the weather cools down and we're going to empty all these boxes and she's going to float down the river. I don't need you. I don't need this. Okay. I think you got the picture. There's all kinds of things that we may be obsessed on changing. Don't. Don't. Because that's not the answer. The more you change, the more you will activate stress. Pause. That's what you do. Pause and be willing to let go. Just pause. It's the one thing you can do. That's why it was the seventh day of creation. You remember, and I think a lot of you don't, maybe didn't read this exactly the way it was meant. On the seventh day, the Creator, God the Father, rested. It didn't say he retired. He rested. It didn't say he wouldn't be back to work someday. It said he was done with this segment of creation. And we were the last segment there. And he let us play around and build all the sandcastles we want to build. And if the tide comes in and washes them away, well, kids, that's what you've got to learn. Don't go building sandcastles so close to the water. And he doesn't fret about it. He doesn't come in and try to rebuild my, well, why don't you come in and rebuild my sandcastle? Daddy, I thought you loved me. And he said, honey, go somewhere else and build your castle on rock. Learn what I did. Learn from your papa. Don't go build sandcastles right by the water. That's just you dreaming. So, maybe I've carried this a little too far, my friends, but sometimes I like to get really personal because I think it's something you relate to a little better. But I just want to remind you that God is not finished with you. And just because he rested doesn't mean he's finished. Doesn't mean there won't be a next station in the art and act of creation. And in the meantime, we got a chance to get our act together. And it doesn't take too much, my friends. You don't need that much. Really, you don't. It's the world that's making you think you gotta have, you gotta have, you gotta have, and you gotta measure up, and you gotta measure up, and you gotta measure up. Well, my darling friends, you already measured up to your Creator. And it doesn't get any better than being called a child of God. It doesn't get any better than that. But you get anxious about that when you're in a state of separation, which is why the most common message, the most common message in all the recorded text about Yeshua's teaching was about repent. And repent didn't mean what a lot of preachers made or tried to cause you to think it meant. It did not mean you're a down and dirty, low-class citizen of the earth, and you better admit to all the things you've done imperfectly and wrong so that God will accept you back. It has nothing to do with God accepting you back. And proof of that is in the story of the prodigal son, where the son had strayed away and came back, and the father was waiting for him with celebration. God has been waiting for you. And it doesn't matter even if you come back with your shoes dirty and your knees, you know, your knees bloody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your hair is matted and you need a bath when you come back to God. It doesn't matter because he's waiting for you. And it's not God who will change his mind. It's you. That's the one change that will change your life. You change your mind that you have within you everything you need for your life. And you don't have to get permission from the world to live. You don't have to get permission from the world to stack up, to be more than you thought you could be. Getting back to the zero point of who you are is where all of the blessings come to you. It's like the prodigal son was given a banquet on his return. All of the blessings you ever wanted are out there. They've already been given. It's a sure thing. You will be received back. You don't have to beg for it. And you're not going to be judged for coming back home and say, whoa, what took you so long? Boy, you had a wild life. That's not how you're going to be greeted. You're going to be greeted at the gates with loving arms. And a dad who says, I missed you, son. I'm so glad you're back. We have a banquet for you. We have a banquet for you. Okay. This is what we focus on. Not exactly this message, because there are unique, important messages in the blessing seminar that are pertinent to people needing to know in order to be a conduit for Christ's blessing. But the truth and the reality behind the blessing is all this, learning how to get back to that native state of who you are. And it's a powerful state. It's not a lesser state. The world would like to make you think it's a lesser state. It's not. It's not. It's a greater state. And I'll leave you with this one summation. There was a Sunday when my grandparents came for a visit, and my parents, we were all going to church together, but my parents were coming in a different car. They were waiting for my brother and sister. Okay. And I went ahead with my grandparents, a little bit elder then. I think I was about maybe 10 years old, and they were in their 80s. we parked in a parking lot across a four-lane highway, and we were walking across the street to the church. And as we were walking across the street to the church, cars stopped in that four-lane road and waited for us to cross the street to the church. And I thought to myself, as a little girl, we are royalty because we are children of God. I didn't need anything. I did not need a crown on my head. I did not need a wealthy bank account. I didn't need anything because I was with my beloved grandparents who taught me the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom of God, and cars in the highway paused for us to cross that street. So it'll leave you with that, because actually when you get back to the nativity of who you are, that's how you will feel. And the blessings will come. Not always just when you think you need them, because when you think you need them is 90% conditioned by what the world is telling you you need. And God doesn't listen to the world. He doesn't. He couldn't care a fig about this world until he gets ready to wash it away. And he will. He will. Okay. Well, that's my message today. But I'm so glad and so looking forward to meeting many of you 2 weeks from today and initiating you into the blessing community of blessing givers. It's a thrill you can't imagine, because it's getting back to being you. And by the way, I should say, tomorrow is our deadline. It's the day I have to turn in the headcount to the hotel. And, well, unfortunately, the hotel is in the world, and they have their books to keep, and they have their records to keep, and they've got to pay the caterer. So I have to have a headcount on food that we're paying for you. So we do need to know. And if any of you need assistance, financial assistance that we can work with you on, call us and let us know. All we really need by tomorrow is enough to pay your food bill, because we got to pay the hotel. And if we can work, out a payment plan for you, let us know. And we have had 4 scholarships that have been donated by senior blessing givers, because they know how important this is. So 4 people are coming on scholarships. God bless our blessing givers. You're such a community. You're awesome. And the rest of you, as much as we can help you, we will. The first thing to do, if you really, really want to talk to me, okay, I'm going to give you, send me an email, GlendaGreen@gmail.com, and we'll set a time for talking, because it's not always easy to get through on our church line. So that's the end of our story for today. And Nancy, we are going to take an extra time to bring those on the call on, but I will ask that we pretty much focus on your request for blessings, because we want to hear that. We want to know about that. Okay.
Thank you so much. Let's see. We have, it looks like Jerome, your line is open.
Yeah.
Hello, Jerome.
Yes, loving and blessings. Thank you for everything you're saying and talking about healing. And about 3 weeks ago at church, the director of our church came to me from the universe. And I felt this energy that I've never felt before, like a V, and it was just the whole universe was with him. And he came and he said, blessings and blessings, and I'm glad you're okay. But I felt the universe of creation, the entire universe,
yes,
that got me to that, got me to with him in our church. And that's where we get to go when we leave our bodies. And I just felt this fantastic energy that words can't even come to. But I know that's my home out there. And when I get to leave here, I'll go out to the universe of higher spirit of the universe, not just the world here, but it's the universe,
okay,
of all of creation. Yep. And you are doing that too. And so I can send you just the blessings of everything you're doing to help us remember the universe of creation that we are. And
Amen. Amen, Jerome. And you know, that feeds back on the a message I said about 5 minutes ago. God is,
yes,
not finished with creation.
Yes.
Let's consider something called the multiverse.
Yes.
Many layers of universe starting,
yes,
to interact. Okay,
yes,
when that begins to happen, okay, let's just imagine how small the issues of this world are going to seem.
Correct.
It makes me laugh a lot just to think about it. Oh, my goodness. Everybody, God has some surprises in store for us. It's,
yes,
not going to be traumatic. God doesn't,
no,
do trauma. Okay.
No.
But it's going to be surprising. God does,
yes,
surprises.
Yes.
And enjoys them mightily. So, yes, Jerome, I'm so glad you're having these visualizations. And, you know,
yes,
they could have actually more significance than you even know right now. Because,
yes,
you're thinking this is where I get to go when I go home. Well, what if this is going to be home?
The entire universe. But thank you for doing everything that you do, because you do it with the universe of creation, light and love and peace and joy for the spirits that we all are together. And
yes,
I just send you that light and love and peace and joy of the universe too. And,
thank you. Thank you, Jerome. And we're going to, okay, miss you. I remember when you were at the Blessing Conference.
Yes.
You were and are a joy.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay.
Love you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerome.
You're,
gosh, I just feel your love. It's just so cool that you're here showing us the way. It's pretty awesome, you know?
Yes.
I just love it. I know what you're talking about. Thank you. We have...
Hello.
Your line,
hi,
is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. We can.
I'm on speakerphone. It's thundering and lightning. We got the rain. Thank you. Thank you. Yay. I'm requesting what we've been talking about. I'm requesting for help with dissolving fear and pain and bringing in love and light and harmony.
Good. Good. Just just relax. Don't think. Return to the neutral zero point of your person and receive. Just receive. You're not going to find what you're looking for out there. You're going to find what you're looking for in there.
Right. That's what I'm finding.
And you will. So.
Thank you.
Just receive more.
Thank you. And continued blessings for my dog, Jamie, please.
Okay, sure.
I love you. I love you all.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aria.
Thank you, Nancy.
And, Aria, I know I'm going to open the next call, but, Glenda, if it's okay, I'd like to just say one little thing that was synchronous for us and really powerful and just for our community. It's such a powerful, short little chapter, but for our morning reading, Gary and I always do that Sunday mornings, we read Recovering the Authentic Self in the Keys of Yeshua. And it's so fascinating to me how it ties into everything you're saying. So if everybody can, as a community, go to that, I think when we bring that consciousness and that awareness in as a collective, it's going to be a big whammy, because everything you're saying will make sense at the deepest level. So I just wanted to share that really quick, because it meant a lot to us. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for those of you who haven't been around as long as Nancy has, Nancy and Gary have, they have hosted study groups for years and years and years and years and years. And if our church gets to a point where we have pastors, Nancy's going to be a pastor. She has that in her. She has that gift of nurturing and finding exactly what people need to understand at that moment. So we are so glad to have you here with us on Sundays and guiding and directing where our thoughts go next.
Thank you. And Ari, I know you're going to love it. It's just so fabulous.
Thank you
so
for
fabulous.
That. Yes.
Yeah,
you, I will
it's
get
so
it.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see. We have whose line is open now? It is not moving. There it is.
Well, Nancy, I think
it looks
we
like
need
Timon.
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 Okay.
Thank you so much, Glenda, for today. Resonates so deep. I have one request right now that I'm dealing with, and I think I mentioned this before, which is with my neighbor. Not a legal neighbor. Actually, this person came in after we moved in here, and it's right upstairs, our sleeping space, our home. But the home is built so porous that you can hear every single sound. So energy is being transferred left and right. And I know reading Master Jeshua's Keys of Jeshua about Luciferian light. Lucifer means distracted light. And being focused on your light is being focused on the light of God, which is, you know, our divine purpose. And I was working on that a couple of months before this whole situation. And I think God is testing me a big time now. And I feel distracted left and right. Like my mind is on this person, then their sound that above me and all of this stuff. And it's been very challenging for me to keep focus on my inner light, my purpose, which I've been giving up the world to do this because, this is my time. It's the only time, last chapter of my life. And I would like to deliver and to be the authentic self that I am, the love that I am. And I've given up, you know, the work of the world basically just to do this. COVID period. I just need some help with strengthening my light. If I can't change anybody else, which I will not do, and I don't wish to change any more of myself, like you said, because it doesn't make anything better, I would like to strengthen my focus of my light, the focus of my love, the focus of my authentic self, so that I can be more powerful to create the world that I seek, which is living heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked for this because I know I'm being challenged right now with my focus attention. I feel like this person is stealing my attention, is stealing, literally, like, intentionally doing so to just take my attention, to just take my, you know, my attention is power, and I don't have room for that. I don't even have time for that. And I have lots of other things to focus on, my work in my own self, my own life, my own purpose, my own passion, which I'm only beginning to move into. So I need all the power I can to nourish myself and my world. And I don't want to go through that because but please, I ask, and the name of the person, I will say it. I wanted to keep it, but I think I will say it. His name is Matisha, and he's been trying to steal my attention and even stealing my space. I don't know why, and I know why, but I don't want to even get into that. So I just pray for blessings on both sides, for, you know, him to be at peace with himself and for us, for my life to be, you know, at peace and fulfilled. And I don't know what else to say but that. So I ask for that. Thank you very much.
We will. We will hold that in our heart for you. And the fact that you're recognizing it in the way, in the context that you are, means that you are in the process of handling.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenda. I learned something else, too. I said, you know, when Master said, build your wealth in heaven where thieves cannot steal, I'm beginning to understand what that meant, because it's not things that people are stealing. It's energy. It's not things, you know, people are trying to kill spirit. They're not killing the body, but they're killing spirit, and that is wrong. And it is wrong to steal without permission of another person. And when a person finds ways to get into your living, my living space, my God, I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do with this, God? What do I do with this? What do I do with this?
Iman, let me summarize very quickly. We do have to get into our blessing. This could be a whole other sermon, and we can't go there today. But that's the world. People are addicted to the world, and the world has no inherent supply. I want you guys to really get that God didn't create the world. Therefore, it has no inherent supply. If it doesn't keep people addicted and supplying the world from their core being, from their core spirit, from their creativity, the world would just collapse. This is why we focus so much on economy. You know, nature doesn't have economy. Nature just exists. God is the supply. Okay? The world has no supply except for those who will subscribe to it, and most of the ones who subscribe to it are addicted to it. So you just have to realize this poor man is just as addicted as an alcoholic. He's looking for supply.
Oh,
and
yeah. You're right. You hit it right on the dot. You hit it right on the dot. On the dot.
And it's true everywhere around. Well, Iman, thank you for bringing this up, because other people may be having the same issue, and it gave me an opportunity to wrap up everything I presented today into that point. But we do have to move on. So
thank you.
Just relax and receive from God. That's what you need. That's what will replenish you.
Thank you.
And Glenda, we have one more caller, our blessed Sarah. Sarah, your line is open. So good that you're here today.
Oh, aloha, Glenda and beloved community. This is Sarah sending my love and blessings. And I want to ask for a special blessing for my dad, Peter. And also just a blessing for all of our families, for family communication and unity. Also for two dear friends, Michael and Sean.
Okay, good. I've got them on my list. Michael and Sean.
Thank you.
And Sarah, too.
See you back. Okay. Love you so much.
Love you, too, Sarah. And we're so glad you're here.
Oh,
all right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear. All right. Well, Nancy, we are going to change this to a... Okay, and now I want everyone just to fall into your relaxation point. How do you get there? Well, you got to realize, first of all, that your extremities are mostly what does the work. Your hands, your arms, your neck holding up your amazing head, your spine, just shake out, limber up, and let your body fall into that, whatever natural pose it wants to. Just, you don't have to tell it what pose to get into. And we definitely do not have official modules of position. We don't do that because it's not about, we're not about being fitness gurus. We are about being children of God who want to relax from our position in the world, whatever it is. Whatever it is, actually, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know, as the centuries roll by, nobody's going to remember. I mean, the young people hardly know who the kings of England were, the kings of France. They don't even know most of the presidents of the United States. They may know a few actors and actresses. That's probably more like it. But even then, they've forgotten.
people come, the positions people hold in the world are not the positions they will hold in the kingdom of God. The positions you will hold in the kingdom of God are what you want to be working on. That's where you will be remembered, recognized, and actually empowered with the ability to influence. So just relax. Whatever position you're in the world, whether the world says you're doing great or the world says, shake up, Charlie, let's get to work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just shake out. Shake out. Let go. You be you. Because it's you that's coming up to the gates of the palace to meet with your Heavenly Father in bliss, in peace, in serenity, and to be welcomed with an armful of blessings that will be distributed to you in all the ways that make you more effective as a child of God. Now, I want you to take a deep breath. Okay. Now, as you hold it just a minute, and as you exhale, count to four. Your count of four. I'm not going to do it for you because it's your count. Okay. And then let it just waft around for a count of four. And then inhale again to your count of four. Be mindful of the cycle that you're creating. And then distribute it through your body. Let your body receive to a count of four. And then exhale to a count of four. Your count of four, whatever that is, could be long or short. Leave it alone. Let it be received by the earth. Inhale to the count of four. Hold it. Give it to your body. Let every part of your body receive it and be nourished by it. And continue this as I offer my invitation and gratitude to Yeshua. To Yeshua. Lord of life, brother to us all, we come with reverent hearts and respectful desire to be close to you. We know you're watching over us, but we don't always see it. And so we don't always make the connection that we would like to have now. We have set aside time in this day just to be with one another in your name and to be with you as fully as we can, as you will receive us. We love you. We love you more than words can say. And we feel your love for us. We often don't understand how the workings of life are. And we get caught up instead in the workings of the world. We ask that you forgive us for being misguided in that way. And pull us out of the water like you would pull out a fish and put in your arms to bless. That's what we need right now. We need to know and feel your love just for us, just for who we are. That special creation that God ordained, entitled, and pulled from the mud to be the receiver of his spirit, to prepare as long as we needed to prepare, to be ready for the next step of creation, when and however his will would choose to unfold it. we ask to know in whatever way we can to help our fellow humans, whether in our community or around the world, to reach them somehow with our love just by being who you created us to be, who you recognize us to be, who the Holy Spirit has lifted us up to be. Let us be all of that we may be a light into the world, so that those who are hungry may be fed with food, but also more than food, that they may be given shelter, but more than shelter, they may be given protection of the Holy Spirit, that they may be given healing, but more than healing of the body, that they may be given healing through union with their Father, their Heavenly Father, God. We come in quiet surrender, receiving just to be with you, knowing that you made us worthy to ask for this. And you assured that in asking, we will be heard and we will receive. Help us to be patient in receiving the blessings of God, your love, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, so that we may see it unfolding in our life, as our life, being our life, and loving ourselves as we receive it. All of these things we ask in your precious name forever. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me in the offering of the blessing?
Amen, and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to receive. Just remain quietly relaxed. No thoughts. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be. Be that little whiteboard that God can write his message on and bring his basket of blessings to. Just receive. Have a blessed evening, a blessed week, and I look forward to being with you again next week.